Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. We have Mardell and Lori here.
Yeah.
Tell us all about what's going on underneath that big pile of snow out there.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't really feel very much like gardening right now.
It does not.
Yeah. But you know what? We're going to talk about seed starting.
Okay.
And people, especially people who have greenhouses, should be thinking about starting seeds. But before we get there, there's a couple things that we want to talk about. And the first thing is that on March 22nd, there is going to be a gardeners meeting. There's posters up around town, so look at them. But the main thing you need to know is that this is going to be a seed exchange. And what that means is that you can bring packets of seeds that you have too many seeds that you're never going to use all of the seeds. You don't have to give away the whole packet. We're going to have little envelopes at Lori's suggestion so that we can write on them, here's five seeds of this kind of broccoli or whatnot. So March 22nd at 6 to 8 at the library. Watch, listen to announcements and watch. And before we talk about seed starting, I also just want to acknowledge that Lori and I were both at the Farmer Summit that happened, a couple weeks ago now? And it was a really cool event. And what was your takeaway from it, Lori? What?
In one word, inspiring. It was amazing. And my takeaway message was we can produce a lot more in the Chilkat Valley than we currently are. Everywhere on the spectrum, from a home garden to a commercial farm.
Yep, it was. It was very inspiring. There's people out there that are doing really hard work and cool things. And my takeaway was is that I was re-inspired to do soil testing in my garden, and which I am doing. And they talked about a book that is Alaska. It's called Alaska's Agriculture Soils Sampling and Interpretation of Test Results. Yep, I know it sounds really scientific.
It's a very long book.
It is. And it is scientific. But if you are doing soil testing and you get your soil test results back, this book really helps you figure out what they mean and how to work with them.
And so, how can you get that book?
Well, I am going to put a copy of this in our library today. As of today, there will be a copy in the library. So it's by Bob Van Velde-Huisen. And Alaska's Agriculture Soils, Sampling and Interpretation of Test Results. So, okay, enough said about the Farmer Summit. Yeah. Oh, I guess one other thing from the Farmer Summit is that, to me, it also told me that there was lots of interest here in town in doing another conference. So we're going to aim to do a gardener's conference, which means everything from the person who is just starting a garden who's never done it before all the way up to the experienced gardeners next February. So we're going to be working on that. If anybody is interested in making that happen, talk to me. So.
All right.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Enough about that.
So busy.
I know they are. That's right. Even in the winter. So
even in the winter,
a good garden is never done.
I know it's never, never, never. So, Lori, have you started seeds yet?
A few.
What?
I've started some parsley, a few peppers, a little bit of basil, and a couple tomatoes. Haven't gotten real fired up yet, but I think. Don't look out the window. Look at the calendar. it is time for the slow stuff.
Yeah, it is for the slow stuff. And I guess one of the things that I observe at novice or beginning gardeners is that it is really easy to get excited about starting seeds this time of year. And it's fine to start some of the ones that Lori mentioned. I guess I add to that is I start parsley, celery, tomatoes, peppers, this early, but pretty much everything else, if you start at this point, for the most part, it's going to get too leggy, too long. And
what about flowers, though? Aren't there some? I'm not much of a flower gardener, but
yeah,
I know
definitely.
There are some that are slow.
Yeah. And there's a lot of flowers. Lobelia, pansies, there's a bunch. Impatiens. I've had my impatiens started for a while. So, yeah. So how do you start them? What's your process, Lori? We have two very different seed starting processes, and that's why I wanted Lori to come on so we could share that there's many different ways of doing it. So,
right. Well, I'm not a lover of the soil blocker. I guess I handle my baby plants a lot. I move them around a lot. And for me, the soil blocks don't hold up to all my fussing, I guess.
Okay, so I like soil blocks, what are you talking about?
Soil blocks are the way that I do mine. It's an apparatus that you buy, and you make a soil slurry, and you...
Okay, soil slurry, go ahead. I mean, you have to Pretend like we're a real novice people here.
A soil slurry is basically just a really wet soil mix. Okay. I actually use the mix that you go and you buy, and then I add some compost and some more vermiculite. And so it's just kind of a potting soil mix.
Okay.
But you get it really, really wet. And then you take an apparatus, it's called a soil blocker, and you form little blocks. And like Lori said, it takes some experience to get that mix right so that they hold together. It really works well for me because most of my garden is started inside, and so I don't want to use all that plastic. I don't want to take the space. And as the plants grow, the roots are air pruned, which means that, you know, you don't have any roots running around the side of a plastic. So it's one way of doing it. There's a bunch of people here in town who do it and they like it, but Lori doesn't like it. So how do you do yours?
I like the 4-inch pots and... Uh-huh. Really not that fussy about what soil I use, mm-hmm. just a general potting mix. I do wash my pots every year, and I don't use old soil, and that's to reduce the chances of having some kind of a pathogen attacking my baby plants. But I just use a potting mix.
Mm-hmm.
I like the organic black gold. Mm-hmm. I mean, I shouldn't say I like it. I use it because it's...
Available,
and it's inexpensive,
mm-hmm. yep.
and
mm-hmm.
it's adequate.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I put usually four seeds to one 4-inch pot and expect that I'm going to high grade and let the really strong ones live and eat the ones that don't look like they're going to be really vigorous. And
as a microgreen?
I just eat them when I thin them.
Uh-huh.
Just eat them. And
right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, soil might end up with one or two per pot. And if it's something that's going to be in a pot for the whole season, then at some point I'm going to transplant them into a bigger pot with a richer soil.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are
mm-hmm.
going outside, just depending on how far along they are when I think it's time to set them into the ground.
And how do you determine that? I mean, some of gardening is an art.
Their size. You know, mm-hmm. if I think they're starting to run out of space or run out of nutrients, and, you know, it depends on the weather. If the weather allows us to put stuff in the ground early, then great.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
not, they might have to go into a bigger pot for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that I do that produces good, strong starts is that once they're up, I challenge them a lot. I put them by open windows. I put them by fans. I make them cold. I hassle them. I blow on them. I mess with them so that they develop some strength.
I
give them tons of light. The most what you want is the most light you can possibly come up with. If that means artificial light, great, or your brightest, sunniest window.
Mm-hmm.
So maximum light and not a whole lot of heat and some physical challenges.
I think that's one of the things that you've taught me, that coddling plants, coddling seedlings is not necessarily doing them a favor. And it's really not.
It's tough love
but
thing.
But there's a balance. There's definitely a balance because you don't want to kill
them. I'm tearing up over here.
Oh, those poor baby plants, but they like
well,
to have strong stems.
Don't start too many extras because it is hard to thin them.
Yeah,
you do have
very
to
hard.
Murder a
and
few.
You eat them.
Yeah, that's right. But one thing that I have learned through experience is that, you know, sometimes you grow a plant, you've done everything right, and it's just not, it just didn't grow right all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll think back to my seedling stage, and oftentimes that seedling wasn't that strong. And so it's really to your advantage to work hard at getting your seedlings strong and having good seedlings because it does make a difference is to your success of whether you have good ones or not. Some of the ones that you buy in the store have been dried out. Who knows what kind of diseases they have. So there's lots of reasons to put some energy into starting your own. But it takes some effort, and it takes some light. You need to have you need to figure out how to get a light source. That's one of the requirements. What else do we want to talk about? Depth, that's a question that everybody asks me. How deep should I plant seeds?
I think the rule of thumb is about the depth of the size of the seed. So
uh-huh.
I think a lot of people plant too deep, and if they have poor germination, I think a lot of times those seeds are just down too far and they're struggling to find their way up
mm-hmm.
and out.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
just a really light covering.
Mm-hmm. And that's a trick. Either too dry or too wet if they're too wet, then you're going to get damping off, which is a disease that happens from being too wet, or too dry, you can kill them. But so that is part of the starting dance. Yeah, one thing that I do, everybody's process evolves as they do gardening. I now start a lot of my seeds in what Melissa calls a seed burrito. You just take your seeds and you put them in paper towel. What that does for me is it takes the guesswork out of whether they're going to come up or not.
Whether they'll germinate.
Yeah.
Okay, you put them in a burrito, you put them in a paper towel and then
put them in a paper towel, and once that they start to get little tails, it tells me that, oh, the seed is alive and it's going to grow. And then I very delicately take that. You can't wait too long. You delicately take that out and you plant that in your soil. And then you are pretty assured that that is going to come up. So
I do that too with all the big seeds, mm-hmm. Squash, sunflowers, yeah. Cucumbers. It's called chitting.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that there was a proper name for
yeah.
it.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it just takes some of the question, those big seeds that if you wait too long, it's too late to start them again. So
right. And I've had the best luck. When I chit seeds, I use a pretty darn wet paper towel, and I put mm-hmm. it in a sandwich bag, a
right.
plastic bag. I've tried doing it on a saucer, and I just find that I'm not consistent enough with keeping that mm-hmm. paper towel wet.
Yeah.
And so to put it in a bag, I have really good results with.
Yeah.
In a plastic bag.
I do, too.
But mm-hmm. you do have to catch them before those roots yep. start mm-hmm. embedding themselves in the paper towel. If you ever want to really watch what's going on with roots,
yeah, just let them go.
And then you'll see how tough the tips mm-hmm. of those roots really
yep,
are. They really
true.
Want to go digging.
Mm-hmm.
And they will get so stuck in those paper towels that you can't that get you them can't out without get, damaging them.
Right.
So
yeah, so you got to do it. You got to pay attention. Yep.
Just yep. long enough mm-hmm. to get them into some mm-hmm. soil. But that way you, if you have some seeds that you're not really sure about, you'll know mm-hmm. if they're worth putting in the soil.
Do you fertilize your seedlings, your starts? Do you ever put, do you ever do any kind of fertilizing, or how do you feed them?
I do less of that since hearing from you that too much nitrogen encourages aphids.
Uh-huh. It's true.
But I sometimes just give them some tea, like weak. I use mm-hmm. seaweed tea sometimes, mm-hmm. nettle tea actually
yeah.
sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. The mm-hmm. answer is a little bit.
And,
not a lot.
And I do, one of the things, most of what I've read, and my experience shows this too, is to dilute. You know, if you use like a fertilizer, a foliar fertilizer, don't give it full strength to your seedlings, but rather do a dilute half strength
right.
Solution. And
I would say that things that are going to be in the pot for the rest of their lives, though, I do fertilize
yeah,
those.
That's
but,
right.
But when you're talking about things that are going to go out into the ground in a couple of weeks,
yep, they need it less.
Then not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another tip that I have found works really well for me is to, when you have, whether you have a flat or whether they're in pots or whatever, if you cover them with plastic, especially when you're waiting for the germination, they're way less prone to dry out. And so even just taking a flat piece of plastic and putting over the top is a good way of preserving some of the moisture. Once they get on the road and they start, being plants, then I don't have the plastic on. And any other tips that you can think of? Oh, Lori gave me a good tip, writing the start date, writing not only the start date, but you write more information.
I like to track the variety because mm-hmm. I like to keep track of the varieties that do well here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I do keep records.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think that's important because you'll have a plant. Wow, I wish I would have known what variety that was I planted. That's a
right.
good Mardell trip.
Right.
So.
There was a fella down on Prince of Wales, Farmer Dave. He said the farmer's most important tool is the journal, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to hear that at the time, but I ended up agreeing with him that I've gotten much better results uh-huh. since I started keeping track of what was doing well.
Good.
All right. Well,
thank
you so much.
Hopefully we'll see you all on March 22nd at the Seed Exchange. And if you don't have Seed Exchange, come anyway, because it's just going to be a garden mm-hmm. exchange, talking about gardening with the local community gardeners. So.
Right. And if you have any questions, what can you do?
You can email us at gardens@khns.org.
There you go. All right. Thank
all right.
you.
All right. Happy gardening.
You too.
Thanks, Lori.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much. Have a great day.